in Concord, New Hampshire, keeping an eye on this primary day, also checking in with area businesses impacted by the president's trade policies. We visited Alliant Metals in Hempstead, New Hampshire. They import stainless steel from other countries, then cut it on the factory floor using water jets and bandsaws.
That looks like it's quarter-inch thick stainless.
What is this?
This is a water jet. Water in a garnet, which is basically like a very fine sand.
That's Chris Buchanan, president of Alliant. He told us that in 2018, when President Trump enacted tariffs on steel imported into the U.S. from other countries, he had to pass that cost on to customers, and it still hurts. But he and his wife, Raylene Riley, who does marketing and sales for Alliant, still support President Trump and the tariffs. Why? Well, we started by asking about the impact.
Material went up 25% immediately, and it was a little tough at first. A lot of customers did not want to hear it, but we had to pass it on because we couldn't afford to absorb a 25% increase.
The customers were at first reluctant. You know, a lot of the larger corporations in the States were able to absorb that because they had so much inventory already. So they were able to continue winning a lot of the orders where we were knocked out of the ballpark entirely. The customers were at first reluctant. So we just asked them to continue to keep us in mind. This is going to even out at some point.
The Cato Institute compiled a list from the group Republicans Fighting Tariffs. Mm-hmm. The aluminum product manufacturer Alcoa cut its profit forecast by $500 million recently. They cited tariffs. All metals industries in New Hampshire, they had to turn down orders because they can't get source material because of the tariffs. And you're nodding yes.
I mean, that does happen, doesn't it?
It does. And I think also because of the uncertainty of the tariffs, bigger distributors might not want to be bringing in as much material at a 25% increase.
What about the fact that this is steel we're talking about in your case? President Trump ran on a promise, a pledge that he'd bring that industry back.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we've seen is we've seen certain investments in new mills. You hear more positive than we have in the last few years, you know.
But I don't think the ship has turned around yet,
no,
by any means, you know. And we are being affected by this. And sales are still sporadic. There's pockets of hope. It's not across the boards, is it?
Well, when you say hope, what is hope to you?
We have a couple of companies that increased their quantities, actually a few weeks ago. That's a hopeful sign. Because a year, 2 years ago, things started to soar. Sales were coming in. It was thrilling again. But I'd say over the past 6 months, we definitely saw a downturn.
Yeah, I have to say, when I saw you just say it was thrilling and your face light up. Yeah, I mean, look at you.
To be busy, to see your people out on the floor continue to have their jobs. And, you know, it was very, very difficult. So you have a lot of families here. Everybody was excited to be working. So, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I think what you both illustrate is, you know, we hear about tariffs and trade, but this is personal, Chris.
And I think one of the things is it was at some point our government had to put stop. We can't continue to be taken advantage of by unfair trade practices. And it was going to hurt for a while. But I think in the long run, you know, let's get on a more even playing field.
These are just more fair practices. That's really what we're talking about. Yeah. You know, we have an affection for China. You know,
yes.
Our daughters are from China. Who doesn't want to see nations do well for their people? But when we're running $580 billion deficits against just one nation, at some point there's a breaking point and we will have nothing left. We have to manufacture in our nation.
Have you had to lay people off because of what's happening now?
No. We have not had to lay anybody off, but we cut back.
Oh, yeah. We cut back on our pay. You know, you absorb it and hope that it doesn't run too long.
What would you say to other manufacturers in the state who are, like you, Republicans, and feel this was the wrong decision, it's hurting them?
I would just say that, I mean, I think in the long run, it will all work out. But, yeah, it's been
tough.
Somebody
said once, when you're restoring a house, it gets very, very messy when you're doing the tearing down and the ripping apart. But I pray that in the long run, people, all groups, all companies will do well.
Chris Buchanan and Raylene Riley of Alliant Metals in Hampstead, New Hampshire. Up the road we go to Arundel, Maine, where husband and wife Mike Marceau and Stephanie Nadeau have a different view. Now, they're part of a New England-wide lobster export industry, including facilities in New Hampshire, that's been brought to its knees, not by tariffs slapped on other countries by the U.S., but by the retaliatory tariffs that China placed on U.S. lobsters, 35%, imposed to punish the U.S. for its steel tariffs. Now, Stephanie and Mike used to ship 2,000 to 3,000 pounds of lobsters, 4 to 6 shipments a day. We spoke with Mike in a packing area of their facility. So, Mike, we can hear the water going through all the systems here. We see some bins with lobsters. You are telling us it's dead in here. Like, what's this normally like in here?
There's usually 15 to 20 guys working.
Packing bins?
Packing bins, packing boxes. And then we have air freight boxes, styrofoam boxes, of which we normally ship 300 a day. Today we ship none.
Upstairs in the processing plant office, we sit down with Stephanie, who handles the administrative part of the business.
So, Stephanie Nadeau, July 6, 2018, a tariff is slapped on lobsters. You feel what? Almost immediately.
On July 4th was the last day that we shipped lobsters to China, and we haven't shipped a lobster to China since.
And what does that do to you? What does that mean?
Well, it's a large percentage of my business, because that's what I specialized in, was Asian exports. So when the Chinese started buying lobsters, I was kind of on the front line of opening up those markets.
You know, this is a huge export business for you, and it really to a halt?
Yes, 100% to a halt. I have an identical product to a Canadian lobster. There's no difference. And it's a commodity, right? So my commodity costs 35% more than an identical commodity that you ship out of Canada.
And talk about the ramifications of this.
I mean, it really hasn't impacted the lobster fishermen at all. In fact, we had record prices this year to the boats, right? But again, all the lobsters got sent to Canada. So who really got hurt were the U.S. exporters.
Mike was telling us that there's normally 12 people out on the floor packing lobsters. There's nobody out there.
Nobody out there.
Are they not getting paid?
No, we try and keep the people that are here on 40 hours right now.
What does that do to you?
It comes out of my pocket. We're heading into almost 2 years of it coming out of my pocket.
Well, what do you say to the, you know, we met someone at a business in New Hampshire, huge supporter of the president, President Trump, and the tariffs, even though the tariffs are hurting him terribly, the steel that he needs, he's now paying 25-35% more for. And even though it's hurting him, he says, but we needed an even playing field with China.
I think people like that are rubes. We haven't even the playing field with China by any stretch of the imagination. We supposedly, you know, signed phase one of the trade agreement where they're going to buy, you know, huge amounts of agricultural products, but they didn't get rid of the tariff. When he signed the trade deal, right, then the phone should have lit up for me. There's been no change. And if the playing field's unfair of a communist government subsidizing industries and whatnot, what do you call the money that they're subsidizing the farmers with? 6 and 1/2 a dozen of the other.
You mean here in the U.S.?
Yes.
Bernie Sanders, he said just that. You know, my socialism would be to subsidize health care. Our government practices socialism by subsidizing farmers, for instance. It sounds like you agree.
Yes, it is socialism. You take tax dollars that the American consumer is paying in the form of increased tariffs and increased prices on the product they buy and give it to red state farmers.
As if the tariffs weren't enough, you could maybe, you're laughing because you know what I'm going to say. What else is hitting you?
The coronavirus. I mean, it basically crashed the lobster market. The price of lobsters has gone down 40% since January 24th. I used to sell 25 to 30,000 pounds a week to Hong Kong because that was one of the only remaining Asian export markets that I'm not subject to a tariff disadvantage with Canadians, and it stopped. It came to a screeching stop.
Because people weren't going to restaurants?
Yes, and they actually tell people to stay in their houses.
Do you think there's another way to do this? Look, people have been critical of the past president, Obama, for not doing enough about China's unfair tariffs on the U.S. President Trump supporters say he's finally doing what's needed. Do you think there's another way to do it?
Yeah, if Donald Trump understood that most of the world gets their tax revenue through VAT taxes, not income taxes, right? I mean, yes, everybody slaps a tariff on U.S. products in Europe and Singapore and the Caribbean because they're getting their tax revenue through VAT taxes.
Value-added taxes.
It's not unfair trade if everybody gets slapped with the same tax.
Do you think there's a way to do this through diplomacy and not
there's
tariffs?
No diplomacy coming out of the Trump administration as far as trade deals. It's broken now. Who's going to put the pieces back together?
That's Stephanie Nadeau of the Lobster Company in Arundel, Maine. We also spoke with Alliant Metals in New Hampshire. They support the tariffs.